Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Houston Bigfoot. This is Dr. John Stamey. Glad to have everybody here with us tonight. We've got a great show, as usual. We always have pretty good shows, and I really enjoy hosting them. So tonight our co-host is none other than Kyler Smith from Houston, Texas. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
I am doing fantastic.
Oh, come on.
I was going to go longer, but I didn't know what else to say. I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, that's okay. We're glad to have you here for sure. And Matt Delf, how are you doing tonight from Ewing, Virginia? Where in the world is that? Tell us.
That's parts unknown, up in the Appalachian Mountains.
That's right. As we
middle
call
of nowhere.
It, in the world of wrestling, we call that parts unknown, and it is parts unknown. It's like, not much there but a couple of stoplights and that's it, right?
Yeah, it's not even a stoplight, it's a caution light. That's all we got is a caution light. And it's
well,
a 35 minute drive to Walmart.
Well, the most important
Jeez.
Thing is, do you have a food city up there?
It's about 35 minutes away.
Oh my goodness, what city is that in?
You got one in Middlesboro, Kentucky. And then you can go up farther up into Virginia, and they got one in Pennington Gap, Virginia. So, yeah, there's nothing in that little town
well,
I live in.
If you don't have a food city, you are in parts unknown. But that's okay. We're
exactly.
glad to have you here. And now, Matt, you sent me a text message earlier today, said you wanted to talk a little bit, to begin with, about Alaska. Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course, everybody's probably heard of the Alaskan Triangle, and there's so many people that go missing, but I was wanting to do, I got set back, I was wanting to do an expedition this year in Alaska, but I wasn't able to, but I'm hoping for next year. But one area really particular that stands out to me, and they've actually done a show on it here recently, I haven't watched the show, but it's Portlock, Alaska. And are either one of you guys familiar with Portlock, Alaska?
No.
Nope, now, this is
Dr.
John,
not.
And I am not. Kyler, are you familiar with that?
Nope, me either.
All right. This is where it's really interesting town. It's a ghost town now. And way back in the days, I think it was like 1905, they started a cannery there. And they shut the cannery down for a while because the workers were worried there was something lurking in the woods. Well, as time passed, it eventually, and I believe it was 1940, is when each year they come back, so they'd lure them back. And so in 1940, they established a post office there. But by the year 1951, it was a ghost town. Everybody, the post office shut down, and everybody left. Now, the reason behind that is what makes this area so interesting was within 15 years, 36 people were either killed or went missing in that 15-year period. And according to the locals and the people that was in there, they left that town. They vacated the whole town because of what the natives, I might butcher this, so they called it the Nontok. And that was a half-man, half-beast that was roaming the forest there that was killing these people. And so the whole town, I mean, it just, everybody was scared. They wouldn't go out. And this was way back before, you know, when that town, but it really became more active, probably because there's more people there in the 1940s. But within that 15-year period, there's 36 people mutilated or just went missing. So you've got this ghost town now that nobody will go to or won't set up nothing because of these half-man, half-beast, Bigfoot-type creature that is lurking the woods in that area, and they're very aggressive. I've got friends up in Alaska, and they have told me that, you know, Bigfoot is just a common everyday thing up there to them, the locals. You know, it's just like a dog, anything, you know, to us. They know it's there. You know, they think it's taboo, though, to speak about it, especially the aggressive type, like what Portlock had actually encountered. And supposedly to this date, there's still activity up there. So
we
got a whole town.
What you're saying, now, Matt, let me stop you just a minute. So you're saying that we're guaranteed that there's some aggressive Bigfoot up there, or that there is an aggressive something up there?
Well, it's aggressive something, but the way that they had made it sound, the natives, they said that it was half man, half beast, covered in hair, walked upright. It was half man and half beast. So, and they have found 18-inch tracks up there. There's several stories I can get into about incidents up there that, you know, they've reported that's been going on. But it's an aggressive Bigfoot type creature up there. And the natives, they called it a half man, half beast, and they called it the people stealer or something like that, or taker, because it would take people. So a lot of natives, if it was foggy out, they said that's when it roamed mostly, and not to go out if it was foggy. I've heard several stories, which I'll get into as we go along here. But, yeah, basically it's a Bigfoot-type creature that lives up there in that area that's very, very aggressive. Enough to make a whole town move out.
Now, have any other people explored this option of aggressive Bigfoots? Now, I don't know what Robin would say. We can talk to her next week on ScaryCast. But has anyone ever explored that it really is a Bigfoot, or that it's something else?
Like I said, it fit the description of a Bigfoot. The natives call it, it's basically a Bigfoot. There was one incident, a man, it was 1980, a Native American. He was hit with a blow from it, and whenever he passed away from it, but the paramedics, that he had grabbed them and asked them, did they see it? And they're like, no. He's like, I seen it. What he's, you know, the Nantuck, I believe that's how you pronounce it, Nantuck, is what they call it, had actually hit him. And he actually passed away from the damage that he suffered internally from this beast. And so there's 18-inch tracks they would find out in the snow. The locals have seen these things. I had one report. There was this native girl that she worked in a trading post close to this bay down through there. And she said she would never go back out to that area again, because her and her father had went down there, and they were like in an old Ford Bronco, and they were just sitting parked out there in this area, you know, where they're known to be. It come running out of the woods, and they was trying to get away, and it punched the back of their Bronco and pushed the whole back end, just slid around before they could finally, you know, get enough speed up to get out of there. But she talked about, you know, it was a Bigfoot. She said she'd never go back there. So whatever this is, whether it's got demonic intentions or what, they're very territorial. These are the ones that you've heard about, the trees that have been turned upside down, pulled up out of the ground with the roots sticking up and slammed back down into the ground.
Yes, we certainly have.
That right there is the some of the culprits to doing that. So to me, they're very territorial, from what I can understand. And it dates way back, like I said. 1905 is when the cannery happened, but they had talked about it, the natives, it being there for a long time. And Like I said, it was enough that all the townspeople just left. They would find bodies washed down into the lagoons, just ripped apart. They said it wasn't a bear attack. They could tell by the damage done it wasn't any known animal to that area. And all the locals were like, yeah, that's the Nontoc. Now, there was a man, whenever they were doing some forestry work up there, they said he was bashed over the head with like a 450-pound piece of equipment that was lifted up, and it had hit him and bashed his head. And he was several feet away from the piece of machinery, like it had hit him over the head with it, and it threw the piece of machinery over to the side and just went on about its business. So very strong, half man, half beast, 18-inch tracks, like human-type tracks. So whether it's a different type of species, like I said, you know, we've always got all these Bigfoot species out there. Some, you know, the Native Americans talked about being good and, you know, full of love. And then you've got the darker side. So I think it's about like anything, where you've got to have light, you got to have dark. I believe these things are the same way. I definitely believe they're the same way.
Well, that's very interesting, and that's something we can certainly explore more as we go into the fall and then the spring, because we are going into these seasons. And maybe if you've got any friends up in Alaska that we could talk with on the show, I mean, that would be great, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I've actually got one that I can see if I can coax her into being on the show. She told me that she didn't want me to go down there because it's very aggressive. She said you'll die. She said you'll get a boulder thrown through your tent. It's pretty bad is what she said. She said she's known people to come up there. Now, she said there's several different clans of Bigfoot up there, and not all of them are friendly. Some are, but there's some clans, like the ones around Portlock, that are just too aggressive. She said they'll just kill you. And she told me that, you know, she's known people that have gone up there, have talked to her. She told them not to go down there, and they've come up missing. So, yeah, she's got a lot of info, and she's a native of that area.
They go missing, and that was that, right?
Yep. Never heard from them again.
Well, we'll talk to Robin about, because, I mean, I know there are, in the human species, there are aggressive people and there are non-aggressive people. So we'll talk about that. That's just extremely interesting. Kyler, do you have any questions for Matt on this topic?
Yeah, so I think it was on Scarycast that we may have talked about certain species of Bigfoot that get so aggressive to this point where they almost get banished to certain areas. Could that possibly be one of the areas, if that's what it actually was hanging out over there?
That could be. It could be. Most definitely. Because
that was the first thing that I was thinking about is, I mean, if it actually is a Bigfoot that's been that aggressive and, like, tearing people apart, that's my only conclusion that I've heard of from this group.
It's very possible. It could have been, you know, just thrown out there and said, hey, nope, you guys need to go out here, whatever, they stay away. But they definitely don't like people, that's for sure. They've had moose hunters had went up there, and they were talking about how they had tracking a moose through the snow, and that's where they got the 18-inch tracks. There was all of a sudden the moose, you could see it picked up speed, and then another set of tracks, human-like tracks, 18 inches, had caught up to this moose, and where they had seen in the snow like a skirmish and nothing but blood all over the place, but no moose, and then just one set of tracks walking out of there. So whatever this was had got that moose, had killed it, threw it over its shoulder, and walked on out of there with it. So
Matt, from any of your friends that live up there or down, wow, my geography is awful. Have they, like, described, is there a difference from a Bigfoot that would live, you know, closer to us, closer to home than from Alaska. Like, I'm picturing this thing is probably covered in white hair instead of, you know,
these are dark colored. These are dark colored, but I'm sure you'll have, like anything, you know, you'll have some that are dark brown, dark gray, but they always claim, you know, dark colored hair, the way they described them. So, you know, it's...
So they don't even try to blend in?
No. They stay up there. Of course, you know, they're like humans. They follow we set civilizations up along waterways. They travel the waterways and cave systems. But up there in Alaska, it's a totally different world than what we're used to. You know, it's still the wild. There's so much wilderness out there that they can stay in their own area. And if the locals know not to go up there, then, you know, they're definitely not going to venture up into that area. They won't. They say, nope, stay away from there. Which is, of course, you know, what that means to me. That means, hey, Matt, you want to go up there, you know?
I'm curious.
This is Dr. John. I'll say it. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about wanting to go up there. Now, Matt, that's a little scary, you know. And please go ahead, Kyler.
Sorry, I'm curious because I know, you know, in Alaska you've got probably the biggest two animals out there, the polar bears and the moose. So I'm wondering if the polar bears even put up a fight against something like that.
I've heard reports of even the bears will stay away, like the big Kodiak grizzly bears and stuff like that. They will leave. I've had reports of people talking about – actually, I didn't get the report. I was watching an interview with an individual, and he was talking about they were on a boat in the bay in one of the harbors over there, and a huge grizzly had come out to the beach, and he stood up on his back legs and sniffed the air. As soon as he sniffed the air, he took off out of there, like, with a flash. And then that's whenever they had reported that this huge Bigfoot had walked out onto the beach where the bear was at. So he you know, he got the scent and got the hell out of there. So, and they're talking about, they say these things are super fast and super strong. They're, like, superhuman. So something with some human intelligence, super strength, super fast, you know. It's basically like a super soldier if the government were to make one.
I was thinking, yeah, what do you think that maybe it could be, like they got a hold of a Bigfoot and started doing tests and just made their own, and this is what we're dealing with now?
No, because this was way back, like I said, 1905 is when the cannery had went there, but the reports and stuff have gone way before then, back into the 1800s, 1700s. It was mostly, I believe, Russian people that had lived there before. And I believe they're the ones that started the cannery in 1905. But they would leave, you know. They're like, nope, uh-uh. There's something out here in the woods. And they left. And then, of course, you know, they would lure more workers to come to that town with money and stuff. But the biggest time was in the 40s is when a lot of this activity was, you know, documented have going on. So, but that was during, what, World War II? So,
yeah,
you had
exactly.
a lot of men and stuff, probably a lot of your, you know, fierce, you know, men were probably at war, but a lot of the hunters and just the people in that area, though, all these reports of it had talked about, you know, they wouldn't mess with it. And they still don't mess with it. They've got a show. They had a show on, I believe, Discovery Channel called Killer Bigfoot or something like that. And it was up there. They'd went to Portlock. I have not watched the show, but they had documented some stuff there. So I mean, eventually I may watch the show, but you know me, with a lot of these shows are just entertainment, so you don't know how much truth is involved in this.
Right, but I was just about to say, I wish I could, I wish I had that channel too to watch, but I never really know what to believe or what is kind of just made up, and you know, they're getting it for views or whatever. But John, I actually had a question for you, like, because Matt was saying that, you know, some of the locals were saying that it could be a Bigfoot, but like, what other things would be half human and half beast? Because I mean, you know, way more about that than I do.
Well, what would be half human, half beast would be Dogman. And, you know, we do not know what the nature of that beast is up there. But Dogman, and Matt, I guess you might agree, Dogman is certainly a candidate for the problem up there, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you've got lots of Dogman, but it had the human-like traits, which a Dogman is more canine. But these are human-like traits. It had, you know, if it's got a like a man foot, you know, it's got the four or five toes like a human, which a dog man, a lot of your reports of dog man is like a canine track. That's huge. So, and these things,
well,
they range from.
But again, I guess what we'll say is we don't know.
Exactly. But the locals, that's their version of a Bigfoot in that area. That is the locals' version of a Bigfoot, though.
And I'm sitting outside, and I'm hoping that nothing's going to, like, come out and grab me, because I'm just sitting out here doing this podcast. But, you know, and we never know. I would say the other possibility is a dog man. But one certain possibility is a Bigfoot. So would you agree with me on that one?
Most definitely. I'd say probably a lot of dog men have killed a lot of people up there, and they got blamed on a Bigfoot. But there have been reports also of the Bigfoot type that was doing some of them. So, you know, I'd say it's like anything else. You've got some good and bad. And it's like I always tell people, you know, I'm walking down a trail, I see a snake. You know, some people will walk around the snake and just ignore it. Some people will throw a rock at it, scare it off the trail. Some people will just kill it, just get it out of the way. I'd say Bigfoot, there's some of them that are very similar to like us, like that. You know, they see us, they'll avoid us and just walk around us. Some will throw rocks or something, just scare you out of the way, get you out of the way, and some would just be vicious and just do you in right then and get it over with and then keep going.
That's probably the best analogy I've heard yet.
I mean, you know, depending on their mood that day, if they want to, you know. I don't know what would put a Bigfoot in a bad mood, but.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. Number one, invading Bigfoot's space. And number two, look at number one. Invading their space is not a good thing. I mean, and that's what they try to do. They try to, like, stay away from us. Because in general, they don't want any part of us. But then when we go out there, mess around, and oh, my goodness. So we just need to be careful about what we do. And don't be blaming anybody, because I'll tell you what, Matt, I know you have property and a beautiful house up there in Ewing, Virginia, correct?
Yeah.
And if something or someone were to go up there and were to mess around in your house, you'd get mad, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Because don't think that the Bigfoots aren't a little bit like us. They're saying, well, what in the world is going on? This is ridiculous. So just people need to be careful. That's what they've got to do. And don't put yourself in harm's way, because if you put yourself in harm's way, you're going to get in trouble. And Matt, I think you'll agree with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I mean,
right, so
and if you look at it, like they was talking about the machinery with the logging, so it took up, you know, a piece of the machinery and had hit this man. So a lot of these encounters is usually with loggers, like in, what was it, 1958 up there in California is when they first really come up with the name Bigfoot, because the logging equipment where they were logging up in there, and the equipment was being moved around, and they had these huge, you know, Bigfoot tracks, and that's where the actual name Bigfoot come from that was doing it. But it's where man had invaded into the forest and actually had, you know, entered their space, their territory. And I had heard from Cheyenne Indians that Bigfoot used to talk to the natives until white man had come over, then they quit communicating.
Okay, well, just, you know, blame us. I mean, that's one thing you can do is just blame us. What do you think about that, Matt? Blame.
I mean it.
Blame me. No, listen. Blame me. Blame you. Blame the white man that comes over there. What do you think about that?
Yep. I believe it's true. I mean, you know, if that's their land, that's their area. That's like if you got anything else that's a nuisance, like you said, coming around your house, you're going to scare it off or get rid of it, you know, one way or the other, be more of a nuisance. And that's why the natives said that, you know, if that tree is upside down with them roots sticking up in the air, that's a warning. Hey, this is my territory. Don't come in here. And they said they avoid it. They know to avoid it.
I was just about to ask, too, what are some of the warnings that you can kind of pay attention to for stuff like that? And, yeah, you just answered my question right there.
All right. Well, I'll say Matt Delf on ScaryCast, the special broadcast of Houston Bigfoot. And Matt's going to talk about warning signs of Bigfoot.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of them. You know, a lot of times they show, this is pretty interesting story I had got over from Harlan, Kentucky. In Harlan, Kentucky, it's rugged. It's completely, you know, it's an old coal mining town. It's got a lot of history, but it's got a lot of wilderness right there in the middle of Kentucky there, you know, in the corner actually there of Kentucky. It's on the opposite side of the mountain from me. A gentleman had this woman and this man had come, and they were telling me that where their house is at, just a couple miles before you go get to their house down this dirt road going to their house up in the mountains there, that the wife had seen a Bigfoot cross the road. And so she went and told her husband. Well, he went back there to that area that she seen that it crossed the road. Well, he gets up in there, and he's looking around. He didn't see nothing. He didn't think much about it, but he was up there roaming around. Well, he has these pictures, and he's showing me, and he's like, what do you think of this? And on their front porch were these massive boulders. The next day, they woke up and they went outside, and these massive boulders were on their front porch. And he goes, what does that mean? And I said, to me, that's a sign of an alpha saying, hey, look how strong I am. Do not come into my territory again. So, you know, you've got different things that different signs for, you know, hey, don't come in this area. Sign of trees being pushed down, just showing, you know, the aggressiveness. Like I said, the some of the trees being torn up from the ground, upside down, slammed into the ground. You start seeing that, do not go near it. Various things. A lot of people think the X structures. I don't believe that. I believe that's just, you know, hey, that might be marking there, but I don't think it's aggressive. I've never heard of any aggressive encounters with an X structure, like two big trees up in the middle of the woods, not to go in there. but mostly it's a sign of brute strength, trees being shoved down or moved across the road. I've had an incident in La Follette, Tennessee one time that I had got up in there, and back in 2003, there was, for 2 weeks straight, there was all these Bigfoot sightings. It was on the news, and this was a couple years ago. I'd went back up there in that area, and I drove up there and to this area where we'd found a herd of elk, and as I was coming back down the old logging road, there's a huge tree. There was no storm or anything. This huge tree was placed across the road, and it was snapped. You could tell it wasn't cut. My first thought was, whenever I was coming back, I thought, oh, great, somebody's cut a tree down, trying to block me. They're wanting to rob you or something, you know. But no, this tree was broke. And I would say it was probably about 20 inches, 3 inches, somewhere around that, around, you know, diameter. And it was broke. It wasn't pushed over. It was snapped. And I'd say about knee high is where the break was. And it was laying across the road. Now, I was on expedition with, it was one of Lori Wade's expeditions, and we were up in the mountains there, and we had come back, and we were trying to leave an area, and same thing had happened. A huge tree was across the road. It had been broke about in between thigh high and waist high, and it wasn't cut, wasn't nothing. It was broke, and it was laying across the road. So, you know, something had broke that tree, and it's trying to say, hey, stay out of here. And I believe that's the type of warnings you'll get. If that makes sense.
Well, I mean, that's what they want to do. And that's how they want to communicate with us. They will communicate with us in different ways than we would communicate with them, because they're smarter than we are. And, you know, my old story about Lakemont, Georgia, and I'm out there on a one-lane dirt road, and I'm looking across, and all of a sudden I see something about 3 feet by 4 feet, which is fairly large, get propelled up, and it goes over a tree and comes back down. And I was smart enough to say, to wave, and I said, hey, how's it going? Thank you for saying hello to me. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they say hello, because as I tell people, if one of them came just a parading down that road, I would have had a heart attack. Matt, you might have, we might all have had a heart attack. And I mean, just as like, that's how you come down and say hello. So those that want to be communicative and those that want to be smart will do things like that. Don't you agree?
I believe so. I believe it's kind of like I said with the rock theory, you know. Sometimes I'll throw a rock, scare you out of the way, let you know, hey, I'm here. Go on about your way,
yep.
And I'll go about my way. So
I'm telling you, man, you know, you just need to think about what's going on. Now, if they're too dangerous, if they want to do bad things, if they want to keep you out, then they'll keep you out. And you know what? That's great. Then stay out. But if they want to greet you and do things like that, well, speak to them and say hello. Nothing wrong with that. People kind of think I'm crazy about this, but it's the truth.
They can feel
so,
your intent.
Do what?
I said they can feel your intent, I believe.
Right.
You know, if there's somebody
out
there.
I go up there to see one of my very best friend's birthday. I just went up to say hello. And I said, I'm just going to, like, hang out next to your cabin and just watch, because it was kind of a rainy, beautiful day. And I said, yeah, I'm just going to do this. And after 10 minutes, I see this massive thing get propelled over a tree. And I said, hey, thank you. And I waved. I mean, come on. That's what you should do. Try to initiate communication when you can, and if you can't, get out of there. Does that make sense, Matt?
Definitely makes sense. Definitely. So
I think this is Dr. John's rule. Initiate communication if you can, Otherwise, get out. They don't want you there. Okay. So we'll make that John's rule. Yep. Dr. John's rule. Matt, are you okay with that? That's Dr. John's rule?
I'm perfect with that.
Well, thank you very much. Kyler, what do you think? Do you agree? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's right. And so anyway, we're just glad to bring these things to everybody and let's use our brains and go on. Now, Matt, you had another topic, I believe, that you wanted to discuss. Am I correct?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know why it's been brought to my attention, but the Wendigo. Are you guys familiar with what a Wendigo is?
Well, now, I am. Kyler, if you're not, Matt, I would like for you, please, to discuss the Wendigo a little bit with us so that Kyler can understand the gravity and the – and I'm going to use a phrase that no one's ever used, the terrifyingness of the Wendigo. Do you agree with that, Matt?
I like it.
I do. So are you familiar with the Wendigo?
No, go ahead. I've never heard of it.
Okay. Well, back in Native American, they think it's an evil spirit. Some say it's a man that has changed, been cursed whenever he passed away because he was a cannibal, and he had passed away and turned into this demonic being. And the reports, this thing is like a carcass, like a deer carcass, basically. It's the living dead, basically. This thing is upright, it's moving, and it's continuously hungry. And it's the head is it like of a deer with deer antlers, and the skull, but it's got red eyes inside of the skull. And the more it eats, the bigger it gets, the more people it kills and eats, then the bigger it gets, and it's pure demonic. And I had heard, actually it was a couple years ago when I first met Melissa and her husband Josh. They're from South Carolina, and I believe, John, isn't that where they're still residents at?
They are. They are near Orangeburg, South Carolina. They're nice people. They come to a lot of my events.
And, well, Josh had this drawing, and he had showed me. He said that, I can't remember if he said a friend or a brother or somebody that he had known had this being running beside their vehicle at night. And it was running, and it was basically like a elk or a deer, half rotten, and it was running beside his vehicle. And I thought, well, what in the world? So, and then just here the other day, I don't know why, but it's clicking, clicking onto, I don't know, it's coming to me a lot. I don't know if I'm manifesting it or what, but a lot of thought to it. I was listening to a show somewhere, because they're from South Carolina, and supposedly a park ranger in South Carolina, I'd have to listen again and see if they gave the actual area, but had seen supposedly this being. He thought it was a deer at first, but it's like complete, you know, it had flesh was rotting off of it. It smelled horrible. Went to this pond and was going to drink, and it looked up and it had seen him. So he had took off running from it, and he said he got the heck out of there. He didn't stick around. He didn't know if it chased after him or not because he was full intent on getting the heck out of there. But he had reported smelling nasty, foul odor. But I seen another post. I don't know. It showed a picture of a Bigfoot, and people up in Canada had called it a Wendigo, which I don't believe. I believe it's more of this antlered demonic being that eats these people, and it gains power off of it. But it continuously stays hungry. The Indians used to talk about them all the time, especially up around the Great Lakes area.
Now, Matt, I hate to joke about this, but I stay continually hungry, too. So we're not talking about how
you're hungry.
Well, sometimes I can. If I eat enough macaroni or whatever, I can satisfy it. So maybe I'm not a Wendigo, okay?
So, yeah, I've put a lot of thought into that Wendigo now, you know.
And I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of what you're saying. I was just trying to make a little bit of a joke. Yeah,
right.
Sometimes I get pretty darn hungry, and I'll go to Wendy's and I'll get a double cheese, extra mayonnaise, ketchup, onions, lettuce, a large fries. Oh, my goodness. And that's what it takes to satisfy me. We're not talking about that, are we?
No, no. We're talking about eating human flesh, consuming their soul, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, you can go
if
ahead.
Any of the listeners. Yeah. I was going to say, if any of the listeners have had any sightings or reports or stories about it, please let me know, because I don't know why it has got my attention all of a sudden. So if anybody has any reports out there that's listening or listening to this show, then shoot me a message, and I'd love to hear the story or the encounter. I'd like to learn more about this.
I'll tell you what, stay up with Matt, because Matt does answer his emails, and it's not an email. Here's what everybody needs to do. If you want to get in touch with Matt, what you do is you go on Facebook, and you go to Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization, or MECRO. Send him a message, and he'll get back to you. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, you are correct. Yep.
Well, thank you. Hey, Matt, I'm at least somewhat helpful, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's just
go to
MECRO. I don't know why it's thrown at me, though. I'm sorry, what was
that? Well, who knows? I said, well, who knows? But anyway, please go ahead, okay?
Okay, but yeah, I just wanted to touch on that and see if there's anybody out there that had any reports or sightings or anything on that topic. So I've got another place, too, I was going to bring up here that I'm wanting to investigate. You know how they always have these closed parks we had talked about once before, these campgrounds and stuff that they close down because
mm-hmm.
they've had some type of activity. Well, this kind of goes close to the area that I'd talked about before, not too far from where I live, right before you get to Big Stone Gap, Virginia. There was 2018, there was two horses that were slaughtered down this one area, but up there, there's this campground, and it's called Cave Springs, and this past weekend, I'd actually gone to two different places, but one of my stops was the Cave Springs campground. This campground has been shut down for some odd reason. And I walked up in there and investigated a little bit of the area. And it had such an eerie feeling. At one point, the whole woods went quiet. So,
that is never a good sign. When the whole woods go quiet, is it?
No, it's not. But they just all of a sudden just quit, said nope, closed it off, and people's not allowed in there anymore for some odd reason. And, I mean, that area, you could tell. I mean, I went up there, and it's got like a swimming pool, like a swimming area, and it's spring-fed, but there's a sign that says, do not get in the water. They've got the whole area just shut down. It's all grown up now. And I took some pictures, but it's really spooky up in there. And it's close to, if you go 11 miles, I think it said to Keoki Lake. Now, in that Keoki Lake area, there's old coal mines, and some of the people that told me, I can't remember if it was in the 80s or the 90s, they'd shut down one of those coal mines because there was a wolf-type creature roaming the premises of the mine. Now, you know, for them to shut a mine down, especially in those areas, it had to be something pretty bad. They shut it down for a while, anyhow. They opened it back up, but they shut it down for the safety of the workers. So that's just 11 miles hiking distance from where this park is at. So that's definitely going to be one of my areas I'm going to try and hit up and do a lot of investigating and research in.
What was the name of that park? Or not the park. What was the name of the closed down campground that you said?
Cave Springs. It's Cave Springs Park. It's in the Jefferson National Forest. It's right before you get to Big Stone Gap, Virginia, and it's shut down. And I thought that was, I was like, I wonder why in the world, you know. And I went up there, and you could tell there has not been, they're not up in there working. They're not doing anything. It's just completely letting it grow up. They're not doing anything with it right now. So I don't understand what the reason for closing it. That's usually a sign, you know, just for them to shut it down. Very odd, especially when they can make money off of it.
Well, of course, it's very strange that they would do that. And so, Kyler, number one, I want to ask you a question. Would you like for us to go up there to Big Stone Gap with Matt next year?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I was trying to figure out if there was any stories or anything on that I could find just searching through Google real quick, but yeah, that'd be great.
That whole area, yeah, that's where that vampire rut I talked about before, Big Stone Gap right there, and the not too far from there is where the Bigfoot Sanctuary is up in Norton. It's all connected, all through there, but there's been a lot of dogman reports and sightings in that area recently, so...
Well, that sounds absolutely terrifying. So we'll have to see about going there. So that'll be a lot of fun. And so anyway, thanks for telling us about all this because, you know, without good reporting and without people that want to talk about what's going on, we don't know. And it's just too hard for everybody to know what's going on. So I wanted to say thank you for keeping us apprised at what we've got, you know, going on. And we definitely would, Kyler and I would both like very much to come up there and be with you when you go through there. Would that, so that'd be okay, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, that's good. Right. Well,
you know, I'm not
going to
say what we might encounter might be friendly or not, but
you know,
let's hope so.
As they say in that song, Que Sera, Sera, whatever will be, will be.
Right.
They'll be happy
Absolutely.
Or sad or whatever. So we'll see what goes on. So now Matt and Kyler, we're about ready to get to quitting time. And I want to ask you, Kyler, for one last question for Matt about our talk tonight. And then I'll have one last question. And then we'll parade on into the sunset. So how does that sound, Kyler?
Yeah. Let me think real quick. So I was trying to look into these closed down parks and these closed down campgrounds just raise such high curiosity for me. And I have that feeling that you do, like, I want to go in there and figure out what the hell is going on because it just doesn't make any sense, especially for the place that might have been, you know, fun for everybody to go to. Without any story whatsoever, just shut down raises too many questions for me. So I know you said that this was one that you wanted to go to soon. Is there any, like, bucket list ones that you wanted?
Well, of course, you know, Port Lock, I want to go there. But as far as campgrounds, definitely that one. And, you know, you get your most activity from the ones that have recently shut down. So that's where I kind of keep my eye. I don't really have a bucket list of parks that I like to investigate, but it's one of the key things I look for whenever I'm doing research is a recent shutdown park for no reason, especially when they're making – now, some will say, well, they can't afford the upkeep on it, but there's not much upkeep in one of these little parks, you know, campgrounds. All, you know, people pay to go into there. And they even charge a fee to park your car in that one in Cave Springs, which was really, you know, you go in there, you got to pay $3 to park your vehicle, and then they got a swimming hole, and you got to pay for your campsites. But, and it looks like it was used pretty frequent in the past, a lot. So that's just money that the county, or if it was state park, or if the state owned that park, but I think it was part of the national Jefferson National Forest, I'm not real sure, but you know they're making money off these campers. So in a poor community area, why would they not want that open is what mm-hmm. is a question. Because, I mean, it's just revenue for the county.
Well, it certainly is, and it makes sense that they would just have that thing open all the time. So anyway, Matt and Kyler, those are good questions. And they will lead to good answers here soon enough. So just wanted to say thanks a lot, guys, for being here. It's been a lot of fun. And Matt, will you be back next week?
I sure will.
Well, that's great. And I sent you the link. And please publicize it on Micro. And Kyler, will you be back with us?
Absolutely. Every week.
Well, good. It's a lot of fun to have you guys here, and we'll see everyone same bat time, same bat channel next week on the one and only Houston Bigfoot Conference. So now everybody say goodbye.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.
Good night. It was a lot of fun, and thank you very much. And let me see if I can actually get us back to our show. There we are. So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.